welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and today I am flying solo. I haven't done one of these by myself in a while. My usual co-hosts have all been super busy lately, so I thought I'd venture this one alone. But I do want to take a moment to thank Julie, Heather, and Lacey for being such great friends and supporting me and this podcast for going on 4 years now. They've contributed to a lot of episodes over 4 years. And like I said, they have all had a lot going on in their lives right now, a lot of exciting stuff. And I just want to give them a shout out and tell all three of them that I am insanely proud of all the amazing things they are working on and have already accomplished. All three of them are so incredibly smart and talented and hilarious, and I am so, so blessed to have them in my life and to have them contributing to this show. I love you ladies very, very much. I've been very busy as well, but I'll save all of that for the end of the pod. So for those who don't really give a shit about that kind of stuff can skip it. but I feel the majority of people who listen are friends of mine and won't mind if I add a little postscript at the end of this episode to talk about my life a little once I'm done talking about movies. Okay, so now on to the episode. Today, we are going to be talking about a few of my favorite documentaries. I am a big fan of documentaries, but with the format of this show and the way we talk about plots in a comedic way and whatnot, docs are kind of impossible to feature on here. Because A, most don't have a linear narrative structure that lends itself to summarizing, and B, they deal with real people and events, and sometimes that isn't really appropriate to kind of riff on the way we do, if that makes sense. So I thought since this is a solo ep, I would take the opportunity to just tell you about some of my favorite documentaries and where you can find them to check them out for yourself. So the first flick I want to talk about is called Who the Fuck is Jackson Pollock? Yes, that is the name of the movie. Usually stylized with like different symbols in place of the word fuck, but it stands for Who the Fuck is Jackson Pollock. It was directed by Harry Moses and came out in 2006. This documentary follows Terry Horton, a hilarious elderly truck driver with a foul mouth and a heart of gold. Terry purchased a painting for $5 one day at a yard sale. And when someone mentions to her it could very well be a priceless work of art, she leads us into a fascinating sojourn into the art world. Through Terry's quest to prove that her painting is in fact an original Jackson Pollock, we, the audience, get an inside look into how art is appraised, purchased, and sold in America. Using everything from art history to forensic science, Terry's quest for the truth is fascinating, but also really, really funny. I saw this documentary for the first time in college after randomly renting it from the video store, and I'm so glad I did. I recommend it to everyone, even if you don't think you care about art. Terry's hijinks alone make the movie worth watching. Honestly, she kind of reminds me of my late grandmother, and maybe that's why I'm so endeared to it. But if you knew Jan Post, that's kind of the vibe that you get from Terry Horton. So, Who the Fuck is Jackson Pollock is available to rent on Apple, Amazon, YouTube, Google, and pretty much anywhere for as low as $2. I definitely think it's worth it, so check it out. So the next movie that I want to talk about, just like Who the Fuck is Jackson Pollock, this movie also deals with the art world. It's called My Kid Could Paint That, and it was directed by Amir Barlev in 2007. My Kid Could Paint That is about a little girl named Marla Olmsted. Marla became an unlikely sensation in the art world when, at just 4 years old, her abstract paintings began selling for thousands of dollars apiece. But surrounding Marla's success, several questions arose. Like, is it good for Marla to experience so much fame and attention at such a young age? And what does her success say about the medium of abstract art and its value? Lastly, and most controversially, was Marla in fact the one even doing the paintings? The documentary dissects all these questions and more, and not only gives interesting insight into an art analysis and criticism, but it also is a really captivating look at a very unique child and her family. I found this film around the same time I found the previous one I mentioned, and they'd actually make a great double feature. So check out My Kid Could Paint That, which is available to rent pretty much on all platforms for around $4. So now we're going to get into slightly heavier terrain. This next documentary is called There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane. It was directed by Liz Garbus and came out in 2011. I'd advise looking up the trigger warnings for this one before watching. This doc investigates the tragedy that took place in 2009 on the Taconic State Parkway in upstate New York, when Diane Schuler drove her van for nearly 2 miles the wrong direction down the parkway. In doing so, Schuler killed herself, her 3 nieces, her 2-year-old daughter, and 3 men in an SUV that she struck. Schuler's family grapples with the truth about Diane and what led to this tragic event. Using forensics, security footage, and witness accounts, the documentary tries to piece together what truly happened that day. But sadly, not everyone is able to handle the truth. This film oscillates wildly back and forth between heartbreaking and rage-inducing. After I saw it for the first time, I remember I told the entire story to Heather in such vivid detail that to this day, she has never watched this movie because I unloaded the whole thing onto her in this crazy rant that she says feels like she's already seen it. This definitely is a film that makes you want to talk to everyone you know about it. I even bought it on DVD before we had streaming because I wanted to show it to everyone. But like I said, check the trigger warnings before you check this one out. Like I said, it is very heavy. It is streaming on HBO, but if you do not have HBO, it is available to rent on Apple TV for $4. This one will stick with you, folks. You've been warned. The fourth documentary that I want to talk to you about today is called Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father. Trigger warning for this one as well, though I'd recommend not looking too far into this one before watching to avoid spoilers. This film was made by Kurt Kuhn and was released in 2008. Kurt was close friends with the late Andrew Bagby, who was murdered in 2001. Kurt began making this film as a gift to Bagby's son, Zachary, who was born after Andrew was killed. But what begins as a memorial to a father evolves into not only an examination of grief and family, but an expose about the circumstances surrounding Andrew's death. I will leave it at that, because the less you know going in, the better. And by better, I mean the more you will cry your fucking eyes out. This one is streaming free on Amazon Prime, on Showtime, and Canopy, and it is available to rent pretty much anywhere for starting around $3. So this next one I've kind of talked about before on this show when Lacey and I discussed the dramatized version of this story, Party Monster. But I wanted to take the opportunity to showcase the documentary that film is based on a little more. In 1996, famed club promoter Michael Alig murdered Angel Melendez. 2 years later, in 1998, filmmakers Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbato released Party Monster, the shockumentary, which tells the story of the murder of Melendez, but also the story of the club scene as a whole and how this environment of drugs and extravagance enabled Alec into becoming a killer. While, of course, the murder was a horrible tragedy, the world we are introduced to in this film is so exuberant and absurd and subversive that the large majority of the runtime is actually quite morbidly entertaining. And if this case or this subculture interests you, I also recommend the true crime memoir Party Monster by James St. James. It was originally published under the name Disco Bloodbath, but after the success of both the documentary and the film, it was later changed so that people would recognize it as being the same, you know, property. It's one of my favorite books, honestly. I read it and saw this documentary while I was still in high school, actually, and I genuinely don't remember how I came across it. I think I was just a sponge for any queer or subversive stuff I could find and fell down a rabbit hole with this case. I remember once around this time when I was still in high school, mind you, I went out with Lacey, our friend Jeremy, who has been on the pod, and a guy that Jeremy was casually seeing at the time. So I'm like 5, 6, 7 years younger than them. But they were really sweet and they humored me and they let me go out to a club with them or something. And Jeremy's date and I like bonded over James St. James's book. And I'm sure this guy was thinking, who is this weird kid who has read this obscure ass queer book? And I'm sure Jeremy was like, what the fuck? Why do you have more in common with my date than I do? But it was just a funny night, and I think about that random guy whenever I reread the book. He was cool. Can't remember his name. I wonder if Jeremy remembers that. I should ask him sometime. Anyway, the book and the doc are both spectacular, and you can watch this one for free on YouTube. Lastly, we are going to talk about a movie that is not only my favorite documentary of all time, it also ranks up there with my favorite films in general. I'm going to close this short episode with Jenny Livingston's Paris is Burning from 1990. Paris is Burning provides an inside look into the drag ball scene of New York in the 80s. A drag ball, for those unfamiliar, is an event where participants compete by walking different themed categories. Walking a category can vary from modeling fashion to dancing, depending on the theme. But each category is judged on various criteria, and trophies are often awarded to those with the highest scores. Though now a global scene, ball culture originated in New York City by Black and Latino LGBTQ people. Before drag balls, drag was mostly practiced in white-dominated pageant circuits. Experiencing racism in these pageants, Black and Latino drag queens and trans women began to organize their own events. I am not exaggerating when I say that the people, trends, quotes, and overall vocabulary featured in this documentary are so iconic that their influence courses through gay culture to this day. Shade, reading, serving, realness, voguing, all of that and more has had a trickle-down effect originating in Black and Latino drag culture, and for decades now it has evolved and been disseminated into the mainstream until your like white great aunt Helen is on Facebook talking about how her new makeup had her serving face at the family reunion. Like, it's so bizarre. But the first exposure a lot of people who lived outside of the ball community had to this culture is through this film. I mean, RuPaul and everyone on Drag Race directly references this film practically every single episode. I guarantee you've heard references and never even realized it. The documentary is so great because the ball scene is so fascinating. But more importantly than the balls, it shows us a glimpse into the lives of the participants and what it was like to live as a gay or trans person of color in the 80s. The economic struggles, the dangers, the discriminations. And then in the center of it all, you have this drag and Vogue community that gives its participants an opportunity to build families and lift each other up. I could literally talk about this movie all day, truly. But I made the decision to only feature this doc in this mini episode and encourage you to watch it on your own. Because as a super privileged white queer person, I've never felt like it was really my place to speak on this movie at length, at least other than to criticize the whitewashing and appropriation of Black femme queer culture that me and my fellow white queers are very, very guilty of. So this might get a full episode someday, but not until I can formulate a unique perspective. Until then, I will tell you to rush to HBO. And if you don't have HBO, then rent this on Apple TV for $4. You will be forever changed. So those are my favorite documentaries that I think you all should see. If you guys like this episode, let me know, and maybe we'll do a part two and talk about some of my co-hosts' favorites too. And if you have any questions about these docs or about anything, really, you can hit me up on social media or at wearetheweirdospodcast@gmail.com. You can also use justwatch.com to see where all these movies are available to watch, and use doesthedogdie.com to check for trigger warnings. So I mentioned at the top of the episode that we've all been super busy lately, and that certainly is true. May 4th was my birthday, and I had a modest little celebration with my parents and FaceTimed with Julie and Heather. You know how on Facebook they will help you set up fundraisers in honor of your birthday in lieu of gifts? Well, I did that this year, benefiting the National Center for Transgender Equality, and I raised $185, so that was pretty cool. If you're interested in donating to this organization, you can check them out at transequality.com. I think supporting the trans community is really, really important right now with the political climate the way it is and the insane legislative attacks on the queer and trans people. Like, I do not identify as trans, but I do identify as gender nonconforming. And I know that the laws being passed attacking how trans people identify and present their genders are only the beginning. If we do not stand up and fight back, we will all be forced into gender binaries that we do not necessarily fit into. And that is terrifying to me. Especially with Pride coming up next month, it is a great time to speak out against these injustices and to donate to organizations like the National Center for Transgender Equality. No, I'm not affiliated with them in any way. It's just something I'm passionate about and think you all should be too. So, speaking of Pride Month, speaking of June, I have a lot of exciting things happening in the coming weeks. I have a staycation planned at a nice hotel near where I work. Three nights stay. Y'all, it's going to be awesome and much needed. And then the weekend after that, Lace and her husband, Sam, are coming to North Carolina so we can all be together to celebrate Lace's 40th birthday. And as if that wasn't exciting enough, they will be bringing their two new puppies, Bart and Lisa. A few years back, Lacey and Sam lost their beloved dog, Maggie. She was an amazing dog. I loved her to pieces. And losing her affected all of us. Well, Maggie's father, Blaze, had a new litter. And so Lacey snatched up two incredibly adorable puppies. So now she has two of Maggie's half-siblings. And I cannot wait to meet them. I'm so excited. If you guys don't follow Lacey on social media, you really need to. You should anyway, because she's hilarious. But now there's puppies! On the subject of pets, I have some sad news to report. If you follow me on social media, you may have seen, but a few weeks ago, we lost our eldest cat, Bob. He was about 14 years old, but his death was very sudden and unexpected. Bob was an incredible cat and is irreplaceable. However, our other boy cat, Bear, needs a companion. So, when Lacey comes down next month, she will also be bringing us the newest member of our family, a little cream-colored boy kitten named by my mother already, Peanut. I'm so, so excited. He's so cute. Welcome to the family, Peanut. So, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about before signing off today, and that is the proposition of perhaps producing a second podcast. The idea has been bouncing around in my head a lot lately, but I really want to do a show with Lacey where we talk about whatever we want. You guys know from listening to this show that Lacey and I riff off each other and make each other laugh a lot. And we just think it'd be a lot of fun to be able to talk about a wide variety of subjects. Now, I would continue producing this show as well because I love movies, I love media, and I will never shut up about it. This is my outlet to do reviews and criticisms. But I wanted to see if you all had any thoughts on the prospect of a second show. Nothing is set in stone yet. It's just something Lace and I have been batting around. So let me know what you guys think. Okay. I know that was short, but that's enough for today. Thank you all for listening. I hope you all have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.